Turn to Acts chapter 27.
My pastors, both of them, been preaching on this passage, and so I'm going to do it this morning too. Figure we can't exhaust it. Too many good verses in there.
Amen.
And it says so much about women drivers. Well, you didn't know that? Look at chapter 27. In verse 14, Paul names the woman, Euryclidon. He says in the last part of verse 15, we let her drive. In the last of verse 17, and so were driven. In the last of verse 20, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I love women drivers. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for the fellowship of believers we have and the blessings you've added to our lives. God, we are rich beyond my imagination. And Lord, we're rich in spiritual things. We just thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation and in your mercy to us beyond that. Lord, you know the hearts of all of us that are here today. And I pray if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul would be touched by your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you'd not let them get away, and, Lord, they'd be saved. I pray for every child of God that you will make us sober-minded and serious and sensible, Lord, scriptural and spiritual-minded, that, Lord, we'd think and understand and know your will for our lives. Lord, we'd live it. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease that only you can give. I ask your Holy Spirit to have his way today. Each of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You've heard this story recently several times, and it's an interesting story, a beautiful story. It's a I told you so story. Paul had told them, said, look, if you take this voyage, why, there's going to be much hurt, much shipwreck. There's going to be much loss. People are going to be hurt if you take this voyage. But the centurion, you know, why, what does this crazy guy that's a prisoner know about anything, you know? I mean, you know, he's some sort of a nut, fruitcake. So he didn't pay any attention to him, and of course, who would you listen to? I mean, the owner of the ship has got experience. Maybe he'd been on the seas 25 or 30 years or 10 or 15 years. He'd been running a boat. Paul didn't probably know how to do the boat. So he says, hey, we've got good weather. We've got the fair winds. Things are going to go our way, and we're going to have a good trip. Well, you know the trip, it turned out that the woman driver, Euryclidon, really gave them a time. In fact, it was weeks that they didn't even eat. I remember going on a fishing trip. And I couldn't get anybody to go with me. I called my sons. They didn't want to go. I called several of my friends. They didn't want to go. I talked to my wife. She didn't want to go. I said, I'm going anyway. Now, maybe that was a bad omen. Maybe I should have thought about that. But anyway, I went. And so I went down there, and I figured all the money I spend on bait for all my family and stuff, I'll just take one of these cruises. I'll go on a fishing boat. So I got one of the big fishing boats, and I paid them $20. That was way back when, probably cost you $75 now. I paid them $20 back when $20 was worth a lot more than it is now to take me out fishing for 8 hours. I'm going to go out and get some big fish, bring a lot of fish home. Well, it happened to be that Euryclidon was around close, and she was driving the boat. I mean, we got into some rough weather. And I remember having a beautiful redfish on my line, and I just gave it to the guy next to me. He said, don't you want it? I said, I don't even want to see it. I was so sick. I went in and laid down in the lounge and rolled. In those days, $100 was a lot more than it is now, but I said I'd pay $100 if a helicopter to come out here and pull me off this boat. But I couldn't get a helicopter out there. And that boat is tossing and going up and down, and it's going like this, and people are catching fish and having a big time, and I'm laying on my back. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to drink. I couldn't stand anything. I was afraid I was going to vomit over anybody close to me. I paid that man $20 to make me sick for 8 hours. I have not been on a fishing boat. I go fishing, but I fish off the shore or I fish on a lake. I don't go out there where the big seas turn and where Euryclidon can give me a drive. How would you like to be seasick for 2 or 3 weeks running? Day and night, 24 hours a day. So that the sailors thought they were lost, and the shipmaster thought he was lost, and the whole thing was gone. They had a terrible time, and an angel came to Paul. I guess Paul had been praying. Paul said, man, look like we're going to die. And then the angel came to him and said, Paul, you've got to witness to Caesar. We got to get you in Caesar's court, Paul. And so therefore, I'm going to save this ship and I'm going to give you everybody on it. What a tremendous message. And that's where that little word came up and said, I believe God. It will be as He told me. Now, you've had this preached on expositorily, I mean explaining and preaching from the Scripture. I just want to take it and jump off from it and hit back on some wonderful verses in the Word of God that I know. You know what I have? I believe God. Amen. It's real simple. I believe God. You know one of the biggest problems you have today? You don't believe God. You're believers, but you don't believe God. I'll tell you what believers ought to do. They ought to believe God. Take a few verses and just think with me for a minute about believing God. One of them says, and it's Romans 6:23, we know it. If I had one I could put on a sign in front of anywhere, if I put it in front of my house, I'd want Romans 6:23 up there. It's got it all in it. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let me tell you another verse that says something about that death. It's over in James chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, and it says, sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Every man's tempted. Every man's drawn away of his own lust. But when he does sin, sin brings forth death. Now I want you to understand there's a principle in God's Word. It goes from Genesis all the way down to the Revelations. Sin brings death. Sin brings death. If I could get something in your head, my dear lost friend, you're here today, somebody invited you, you come to church, maybe you come here on a regular basis, you know you're not saved, you never have really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something, sin brings death. Religion can't stop it, good works can't stop it, sin has a result, and that result is death. You know what, for a lost person it's going to mean? It's going to mean misery right here. Sin always brings misery. Nobody sins and gets away with it. Not a lost person, not a Christian. Nobody sins and gets away with it. Sin brings misery here, always brings misery here, and in the end, it brings eternal death. You're going to die physically, and then you're going to die the second death, which is the lake of fire. Hell. The wages of sin is death. You know, I don't know how many people I talk to time and again. They don't believe that. They ignore that. They consider that sort of a trite saying. It's been said so many times. They've heard it so many times. They don't believe it. Let me tell you, friend, believe it. Sin brings forth death. You got a sin problem. And if you don't get your sin problem taken care of, it's going to give you eternal death. That's what the Bible says. The Bible didn't say it's just going to hurt you for a little while and not do any more. It says you're going to spend eternity separated from God because of sin. You got to get your sin taken away from. But you notice the rest of that verse. It's such a beautiful verse. I love God's buts, but the gift of God. You know how many people don't believe that? I talk to lost people all the time, and they don't believe it's a gift. I've had lost people stand up and go, oh, no, that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be right if God gave a gift. I mean, He has to reward the people that are good. And, of course, each of them thinks they're one of the good. I believe God. Just a simple statement. Three little words. I believe God. What do I believe? I believe it was as He told me. I believe it is as he wrote it. The wages of sin is death, but, praise God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you repent of your sins and accept Him as your Savior today, He'll give you eternal life. He'll take away your sin, He'll wash away the account, and because of His grace, because of His love, because of His mercy, He'll just simply give you eternal life. Are you saved? Have you ever received that? Then bless your heart, you can rest that God said it. I believe it. You know, sin brings death even in a saved man's life. Sin always hurts us. I came to the place a long time ago that I realized that the reason why God called certain things sin was not to make it hard on me. You know, when you're little, you think mom and daddy tell you not to do this or not do that just because they want to be mean to you. That's not it at all. They don't want you playing in the streets because they'd like to have you hanging around for a little while. They don't want you doing some of those things because they don't want to pay the doctor bills. They don't want to see the pain. Well, God is that way. And the things that God calls sin, they're not good for you. They're not going to help you. They're not going to do you good. And sin in a Christian's life brings death to their hopes and death to their dreams, death to their marriage, death to the hopes and dreams of their children. Oh, the tragedy that's in this room right here because of sin in a Christian's life. Right here, in the room we're in right here today. Sin. It was sin, you knew better, you did it anyway, and you paid the price, and some of you still pay it. I believe God. Do you believe God? If you believe God, you'd quit some things some of you are doing right now. You'd just get up and walk away. You'd be so scared. You'd say, I'm not going there again. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to say that again. I'm not going to live that again. I'm not going to be that again. If you just believe that one verse, I just took one verse out of the Bible. Well, it's a famous verse. It's a well-known verse. One of my favorite verses, yes. But if you just believed it, what a change it would make in your life. You know what? It'd improve your marriage today if you just believed that verse. It'd improve the way you handle your children. It'd improve your children's future if you just believed that verse. I believe God. Do you believe God? Do you really believe God? That the wage of the sin is death? And that even works in the life of a saved person. That even works in the life of a Christian. Even works in the life of a preacher. Works in the life of a church. The wage of the sin is death. Do you believe that the gift of God really is eternal life through Jesus Christ? It's a gift. It really is a gift. It's not something you can work for, earn, or any other way inherit. It's a gift. And you have to have a gift. You have to receive a gift. You got to believe it to receive it. He said, I believe God. And I believe God. I believe God. I don't know how many things in the Bible that I don't understand anymore. I've studied so many things. I studied it for so long. And there's some questions, you know, that I used to have to say, why? Why? Why did God let this happen? Why did God do it that way? There's some things in this book I said, why did he even put that in there? Have you ever thought about that? You've been reading down a chapter of a book and say, why is that in there? I don't understand. I don't know what I'm supposed to learn from it. You ever think, well, what am I supposed to learn? Well, I'm going to learn from all these experiences. You know, a lot of the experiences I go through, I don't learn enough to help me on the next one. And when I learn how to do this, I never meet it again. Next time it's something new. I think, boy, I got the answer to that one. I know how to do that one now. Never touch it again. Next time it's something new. I never seen before in all my life. Have you ever asked God, why? Why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I going through these things? Maybe I'm just getting old. But I don't hardly ever ask why anymore. I just believe God. You know what I believe? That He does all things well. I believe that He loves me. On my most depressed day, I believe that He loves me. On my most sinful day, I believe that He loves me. When I have failed Him more miserable than any other time in my life, I believe He loves me. When I'm sick and weak and cannot do what I expect of myself to do, I believe He loves me. I believe God. I just believe what He said in His Word. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Several other verses I want to talk to you about. Very simple, just like that one. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, Brother Lynn, that's one of your favorite verses too. Yeah, I go to it all the time. You know what? I believe it's a life principle. I don't believe you can get away from it. I believe it works in the business world. I believe it works in the church world. I believe it works in gardening. I believe it works in finances. I believe it works in morals. I believe it works in sin. I believe it works in righteousness. I believe that is a principle of God that is so universal, it just fits everywhere. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're going to sow. Every day I'm sowing. Every day you're sowing. Do you know what some of you in this room today have told yourself this week? I'm going to sow this and I'll never reap it. You know why? Because you're not a believer. You say, now wait a minute, I'm a believer. I believe the Bible and I believe God. Yes, I know. You are a believer in God. You are a believer in His Word, except when it comes down to specifics. When we take one little verse, and I could take 1,000 verses, but these are so universal and so simple, so clear. But this one little verse, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I wonder if you believe today that today you are reaping what you sowed 5 years ago. I am. You are too. You are too. Your marriage, not a very good marriage. You blame it all on the other partner. It's all their fault. You know how many marriages I've talked to, sat in on, listened to the dirty laundry of in 40 years? You get two people in a house, you've got a difference of opinion. You get two people in a house, you got trouble. Only way you can have no trouble in the house, have one. And some of you couldn't make that. You'd have trouble even with yourself. You know what your marriage is? It's what you made of it. It's what you sowed with your smart aleck attitude or your snide remarks. It's what you sowed with your stubborn will. It's what you sowed with your sin. It's what you sowed with your righteousness. It's what you sowed with your humility. It's what you sowed with your love. It's whatever you sowed. And all those seeds that have been put into it every day, every morning, every night, with the look, with the attitude, with the sentences, with the words, with the anger, with the whatever. That's where you are right now. That's where you are right now. And some of you so mad, you're blaming God. Some of you so hurt, you're blaming everybody but yourself. We got a generation of people who do not take responsibility. And we seem to be raising more. The crop is coming. It keeps coming up. Buddy, the buck stops here. Every tub has to sit on its own bottom. You're going to have to answer for yourself. And you need to take responsibility for your marriage, good or bad. You need to take responsibility for your children, good or bad. You need to take responsibility for your life, good or bad. Recently, I've been dealing with a man in prison. He's an old friend. I've known him for many years. And we talked, and he wrote me a couple of letters, and I offended him somewhat. Because he was blaming his mama and his daddy for this and this and this. And I just said to him, I said, you know, you can blame them. They share some of the blame. But why don't you cut them some slack? You're 40-something years old now. Somewhere back down the line, you got to take responsibility for what you decided to do. So your mama taught you wrong. You're grown. Can't you make a new decision? So your mama didn't think right. So your daddy didn't think right. So they didn't feed you right. You can't go on a diet now? Of course you can. You can't say no to some things now? Of course you can. Yes, mom and daddy have some blame. Yes, they have some blame for what they do. But bless your hearts, when are you going to take responsibility? I am what I made myself. I am the result of my decisions. I am the result of my belief. I am what I am because I made certain choices. Sooner or later, after you got out from under the home, you could either decide to go the way they taught you or to change it. And every one of you thought you were changing it. Every single one of you said, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be different. It's amazing how much you are like your parents right now, aren't you? Doesn't that really chap you? That really hurts, doesn't it? Think how much you like your parents now. And you that finally got to be parents, how you said the same things your parents said that goaded you? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is a principle of God. It is so clear. You have been sowing by thinking, by reading, by seeing, by going, by spending, by doing, by your anger, by your pride, by your priorities. You have sown the life you've got right now. What's it like? I hope it's a good one. I hope you sowed to the Word of God, and I hope you sowed to some spiritual decision. I hope you sowed to the little word no. No. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you believe that? I do believe it. It's so simple, I believe God. You know what that makes me do every once in a while? Repent. Repent. I didn't say do penance. I don't crawl on my knees on rocks for miles. I don't go down and do obeisance to little statues. I don't crawl up steps. I don't give so much money to make up for so many sins. I repent. I change my mind. I get on God's side. I say, I'm wrong. You're right. Amen. You know how Verdi and I have stayed together 43 years this month? Repenting. I get angry and get mad, and then I have to repent and say, I'm sorry. My fault. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Sometimes, rarely, she has to repent and say, I'm sorry, Lindell. I'm sorry. It's me standing in need of prayer. You know how we keep going? We keep repenting. You know how brothers and sisters make it together? They repent. You know how you're going to make it in a Christian life? If you're going to make it in a Christian life, you're going to repent. You're going to change your mind about some of the things you think and some of the things you do and the way you act and what you said and what you said you'd never do. I do believe God. I believe what you sow counts. I believe what you say counts. I believe the way you act counts. I believe what you believe about God counts. Paul's standing there on a ship. He is so seasick. The whole group of 250 people is so seasick. And an angel of God said, you're all going to be saved. And Paul said, praise God. I believe God. He didn't have any more food in his belly. He hadn't quit his fast as yet. I mean, the ship, the storm was not over. The ship was not safe. They threw everything out. They still had to stop the sailors from leaving. They had to do all sorts of things. They still had to swim to shore. They still had to grab on the things. But you know what old Paul said? He said, I believe God. Let me tell you what. You grasping in the bowels of depression, you down in the depths of the sea of your own emotions and your own heart,
Why don't you take the word of God that said to you and say, I'm going to hang on to that and float all the way to shore. With a little bit of hope and a little bit of faith, I believe God. You know, another tremendous verse. It's 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every once in a while, you might doubt that God pays much attention to you. You might doubt that God's really listening to your prayers. You might doubt that you're going to be all right in your marriage, or that you can make it at your job, or that you can overcome the physical sickness that you're going through, or whatever it might be. There are times when you prayed and the heavens seem like brass. You don't see the answers to your prayer. Well, you know Paul on that ship? Knowing what I know of Paul, he was praying before the storm ever came. Knowing what I know about Paul, he was praying for that ship and his journey and his witness before Caesar before the storm ever came. Storm came anyway. You know what I'm pretty sure of? I'm pretty sure of while he was fasting for 2 weeks, he was praying. And the storm came anyway. And he's praying and he's fasting and he's been praying and fasting for 2 weeks and the storm's not over. Do you believe God? What if God doesn't give you what you want today? What if you don't get the answer to prayer that you're thinking about? It's not there yet. What if you've prayed and it still doesn't happen? Sometimes I feel that way about God. But you know, I have a belief, faith. I believe God. Faith is not just faith in positive thinking. It's not just, I just believe. I believe what God said. The basis of my belief is who said it. I believe I have in my hands the Word of God. I don't believe it's off in some library somewhere. I don't believe it's lost somewhere. I believe I have in my hands the Word of God. I believe when I get God's Word, His clear answer on any doctrine, any subject, anything, I've got the truth. Do you know what my Bible says about you, my dear lost friend? Hey, my Christian friend. Do you know what the Bible says, God says, about people dying and perishing? He's not willing that any should perish. You know what that ought to make you do? Preach better to Alamo. Be a better witness when you go into somebody's home. Talk to your neighbor and friend and get on your knees and ask God to do something about it. Talk to your mother. Talk to your father. Talk to your uncle. Talk to your best friend. Talk to your old friend. Why? I know God's not willing for them to perish. I know it's out of the will of God for them to perish. I can preach with a confidence. God doesn't want you to perish. I can tell you God loves you. He doesn't want you to perish. I got the truth of God. I've got the Word of God. I've got the statement of God. He's not willing that you should perish. Not willing that any should perish. What is God willing for you to do? Repent. Over in Acts the 17th chapter, Paul is preaching to a bunch of people and he said, now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I'd say the message is repent. Do you believe God? Do you believe God would save you if you'd repent? That's what he says. I believe God. You know, those three little words solve a lot of problems. If they're true. If they work out practically. I'm known sometimes as a little bit heartless and very practical. I can kill my own animals. I can eat my own cow. If I got a dog giving somebody trouble, I can bury him quickly, mercifully. So some people call me heartless. I would go back into a house to save a baby. I would not go back into a house to save a cat. So I'm somewhat practical. It's just a cat. It's just a dog. It is a wonderful cow. She's a beautiful cow. She has a beautiful coat and a beautiful color, and she's fat, and she is a natural born brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. Practically speaking, you ought to repent. Most practical thing you could do in your life. My dear lost friend, you're here today. You've been invited here. Somebody's brought you in. Somebody's been praying with you. Somebody's tried to explain the gospel to you. Somebody's told you, trust Christ, not your religion. The most practical thing you could do is change your mind and run to God. And oh, my Christian friend, you and your stubborn pride, you sit out there in some of your sins that are just hurting your family, hurting your children, hurting your partner, hurting yourself, hurting the church, hurting the name of Jesus Christ. You ought to repent. God said, all men everywhere. You say, oh, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. I don't need to repent. Well, I don't know what kind of Christianity you got. I've been repenting for 40-something years. I have to repent every week. I got to repent every day. My wife had an uncle. He used to make fun of us a lot. You know, he'd go to church every once in a while, maybe once a year or so. And he would make fun of our families, Johnny's family and my family and Burleen Shirley's, because most all of us were believers and we went to church on a regular basis. And he'd say, you guys must be very bad because you have to go to church all the time. He said, I'm not so bad. I only go once a year and it's enough for me. Some of you believe that way when it comes to repentance, don't you? No, my friend, you're going to walk with God. You're going to see yourself as you really are. And you're going to know you need God's forgiveness. You need God's cleansing. You need God to change your mind. You need God to lift you up. You need God to focus you on something besides your selfish little self. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What is it to believe God? Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 21. What did Paul say? On the ship, God has brought me a message, and sirs, I believe God. Well, he's talking about Abraham in verse 20, Romans 4:20. It said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Fully persuaded. I'm in the business of persuading men. Words are part of my craft. I speak. I talk to people. I write to people. I use words. I use reason. I use scripture. And you know what I am? I am persuaded that what I give them is the truth. I've read the book enough. I know what the book has to say. I've studied on subject. I'm not saying I've got it all, but I've studied on almost everything I can think of. And I've read the entire book through cover to cover many, many times. And I'm still reading it. And I'm fully persuaded it's the Word of God. I'm fully persuaded it's the best influence ever came to my life. I'm fully persuaded it changed my life, my marriage, my children, and my eternity. I'm fully persuaded. I think I could say like Paul, I believe God. You know what Paul said on that ship? The storm's still raging. People are still vomiting on the sides of the roads. They got anything left. People are still laying there sick. People are dizzy as can be. People are heart sick. And he said, I believe God. And when he said he believed God, the storm didn't stop. It didn't cease. They still were going through the storm. They still had to hit the island. They still had to swim to shore. And they still had a whole lot of fear. And they still lost an awful lot. But he said, I believe God. You know what Paul is saying? I'm fully persuaded he'll keep what he said. His angel talked to me last night. His messenger came to me last night. And he said, I'm going to save you and everybody with you because I want you to preach to Caesar. Now, I don't like the way his invitation came. I certainly wouldn't want to go preach to Caesar as a prisoner. But Caesar's going to get preached to. And there's no storm on the sea can stop God. Do you remember the God we're talking about? He's in a boat and the storm comes up bigger than these sailors had ever thought about. And he said, waves, lie down. Wind, peace, be still. And all of a sudden the waves laid down and there was a perfect calm and the wind stopped blowing. Do you think God could have stopped old Eurocladon? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That quit. He didn't have to for Paul. Does he have to for you? He didn't have to stop it for Paul. Paul was fully persuaded. Abraham is about 100 years old. His wife is about 90. And God says she's going to bear you a son, the heir. And it says that Abraham did not stagger in unbelief, but was fully persuaded. You know what you need to be? Fully persuaded. If I could persuade you today, I would. You know what I'm trying to do? I'd like to persuade you to be persuaded. I would like to persuade you to believe God. I'd like to persuade you to believe the Word of God. I'd like to persuade you to trust God with your soul, trust God with your life, trust God with your future on this earth and your future for eternity. And I can say one of the greatest things that ever happened to me is I believe God. If you believe God, some of you will change your life today. Because if you really believed God and what He said, you wouldn't do what you did this last week. You wouldn't say what you said. You wouldn't go where you went. You wouldn't do what you did. You wouldn't have thought what you thought, and you wouldn't have had the problems you got today. And some of you got some problems. What's the answer? God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know what I've had to do sometimes in my life? I've had to repent of not believing. God, I'm a believer. Why don't I believe? God, I know I'm a believer. I know I'm saved. I believe. And yet, when it comes down to the practical nitty-gritty of this verse, I just don't believe as I ought to believe. May God make you a fully persuaded believer in what God has to say. My Christian friend,
You can get victory today. Victory's there for you. It's just that far away. Just a change of a little belief. Just a little switching of the mind. Just a little adjustment. You ever had a radio just a little bit out of sync? And you have to take the fine-tuning dial, and you just work just a little bit, and all of a sudden she comes in all her beauty and all her clarity. Sometimes in our Christian life, sin's brought a little bit out of sync. We're not quite on the station. We're not receiving real well. A lot of static. A lot of problems. It's not that the radio's not working. It's not that we're way off where we can't hear it. We need a little fine-tuning. We need a little adjustment. Need a little repentance. Need a little, I'll change my mind. I'll do what God said. Even if it costs me, I'll do what God said. You hear, without Christ, again I tell you, God is not willing. I have it on the Word of God. He's not willing that any should perish. You know what He'll do? He will save your soul. He will forgive your sin. He will change your life. He will make you His son or daughter and take you to heaven with Him. If you'll repent of your sins and accept Christ as your Savior today. Let's stand and sing hymn number 249. If God has spoken to your heart, this invitation is open. If you're here without Christ, come and accept Him as your Savior today. Take that step of faith and trust Christ. Believe God. Believe that Christ is the Son of God. Believe that He's the Savior of the world. Believe He'll forgive you. Believe He's not willing for you to perish and that He'll save you. And my Christian friend, if you haven't been walking, or God's spoken to your heart, or you got a burden on your heart, whatever it might be, do what God wants you to do. Fine-tune that instrument. Put the thing in adjustment so you hear clear. Get the static out of the way. Just believe God in a very practical way. Take Him at His word. Let's sing it. Father, I pray You'd hear the prayers that are prayed in this place this morning. You'll touch hearts. You'll give mercy. Have mercy when You give answers. And I pray, Father, You will help us to repent of our unbelief. Help us to trust Your word in every area, in every situation, and to follow You wholly. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good day.